Wait, you're cutting into a zombie takeout?
Well, what kind of piece do you want?
I don't know, but not a zombie takeout.
What's up? Welcome to episode 124 of Zombie
Zombie
Takeout,
Takeout.
the B movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got a bit of listener submitted. This is from our Facebook group in reference to last week's episode. John Phillips said, "Ghostbusters 2 may have improved with age, but the movie logo is on the car." And that was all in caps.
So, I come on,
Well, I
though.
pointed out that I hadn't noticed it before, but that's a bit too cheesy for me, so I had to drop my rating down to a 3.5.
Yeah,
He
but
said it really ruined it for him.
after what Jurassic Park did, that seems so tame now.
And I mentioned after that that I wanted to revisit Jurassic Park. I did. Wow, it didn't hold up.
It wasn't good to begin with.
Like I said, I kind of liked it the first time. I mean, the effects are good. Everything else is horribly mediocre. I mean, maybe it's a three.
Right. I saw that movie for free back in
Oh,
the day. We just knew somebody worked at the movie theater, and they gave us tickets, and we went and saw it.
right.
And I was so pissed when I walked out. Come on, that was the Spaceball scene where they're doing the merchandising.
okay.
I mean, they had every piece of merchandising for the movie in the movie.
But it's set in an amusement park,
Oh,
so
come on,
that kind of fits.
though.
And I can't really blame that on the movie. I think that was probably a conceit taken from the book. It was based on a novel. So, I mean, that ease of marketability probably is a big part of what led them to adapt it to a movie. But, I don't really think it was necessarily obvious for the movie.
It was gross commercialism.
Well, and that's why they made it into a movie. They gave them an opportunity to be grossly commercial, but it fit the book because it's all set in an amusement park where everything is going to be labeled.
Right. And then there's just, man, Sam Neill usually can do no wrong, but just
Yeah.
who?
Neil, he's a brilliant actor, but
Yes.
he does. I mean, he's not Neeson, but he does like to get paid.
Yeah,
He
and I
does
imagine
take the paycheck rolls now and then.
he had a paycheck too big for that to resist.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was just, oh,
Because of the obvious marketing opportunities and Spielberg, I'm sure he got paid quite well for that one.
and just horrendous performances overall in that. It was just, whew.
Really just mediocre.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, I've seen it twice. Last time I saw it was on TV, probably very shortly after it came out, within a year. First time it was on television. I could cue the jump scares.
Right. There really wasn't anything that, frightening or, out of left field. And it just, it was just, you knew they were putting everything into the effects in this movie and could give a fuck less about
Oh,
any
yeah.
of it, any of the other parts of the film.
And I read a plot synopsis of the book, really watered down.
Yeah.
The Goldblum's character is pretty much dying the entire movie. In fact, he dies at the end of the book, spoiler. I know, and there's the body count is much higher. They really kind of G'd it up for, or PG'd it up for the movie, and,
Yeah.
made everything, well, went along with the conceit of the book in that it's set in an amusement park and just made everything a potential toy.
Right, and it was just, it also went with the aiding the dinosaurs aren't that scary or tough. I mean, you could. They're big and they can, slice things up. But, they could land in a jeep and, they wouldn't crush the jeep.
I also counted about, I'm gonna ballpark it at 10 times where characters should have died.
Yeah,
There was no way
exactly.
they could have survived some of these things.
Exactly. It was just as ridiculous as the navigator stuff last week, where the dinghy survives the attack of a nuclear submarine.
Or actually, I would put it up there with Last Airbender when nobody dies.
All right,
Kind of
so
the
you
same
made a
thing.
huge mistake getting me started on Jurassic Park here.
Let's just move on.
Yes.
We've got some news. First story from TheGuardian.co.uk. Arnold Schwarzenegger will be back in Terminator 5.
Woohoo.
After 8 years away from Hollywood, the former California governor is to return to the role of the Terminator in the new film currently being shopped around Hollywood studios. According to Deadline, shrugging off suggestions that he may be a little too old for an action hero, the 63-year-old actor is heading up a rights package which will bring the series, kicked off by James Cameron with 1984's The Terminator, back to cinemas depending on which studio wins the bidding war for the new film. Justin Lin, currently the toast of Hollywood after returning the Fast and Furious franchise to box office credibility, could be set to direct. Okay, I've got a couple of issues with this. Of course, Schwarzenegger's too old to be an action star. Recently saw The Expendables. He has a small cameo in it.
Yeah.
He has not aged well.
Yeah,
You don't
he's.
really think of it until you see him in that context, and you realize, wow, he's old.
Well, he's had all sorts of work done, hasn't he? I mean.
And I think we all remember that picture of him with his shirt off during the whole, affair controversy.
Yeah.
He's not in condition anymore. And my other issue. Okay, I am one of the few who liked T3, Rise of the Machines, because they did what they should have done. They followed science. There are only two ways that series can end. Either they actually finish off the Terminator and it goes back to before John Connor was conceived,
Right.
or it goes forward to Judgment Day. Now,
Yeah.
I didn't see Salvation, so I don't know where they can go from there. I don't know if even that's that if that's even considered part of the canon. I just don't know where it can go at this point because we're past Judgment Day.
I'm thinking aliens from the planet Zarkus.
No, that goes without saying. All right, next story. Also, not such a good thing. Adam Sandler and Hasbro making an animated Tonka Trucks movie. This is from CinemaBlend.
On, what's really going on, John? Don't make shit up.
This I wish I wish.
Next, you're going to tell me there's going to be a Spider-Man musical.
According to THR, Sandler's Happy Madison Productions are teaming with Hasbro and Sony to make an animated film based on Tonka trucks, which are, of course, the metal and plastic toy cars and trucks that, well, they have no other story to them whatsoever. So you might guess that from the fact that it's animated and based on toys, that they're aiming for a film with a multi-generational appeal here, which means it won't quite be as raunchy as Sandler's recent projects. Then again, Grown Ups was also an inexplicable hit with families, and with Grown Ups writer Fred Wolf on board to handle the script, it might be more boundary pushing than you think. I've heard horrible things about
No.
Grown Ups. Sandler needs to go back to doing what he did back in the 90s. I wasn't a huge fan of Happy Madison and all of that, but it was far better than anything he's done in the last few years.
Yeah, I kind of, we've talked about Sandler in the past. Yeah.
Mr. Deeds and all that was good.
Yeah.
And Hasbro just needs to stop making movies.
Right.
They've
That
done
really is the petition to get
that's the
Hasbro
bigger issue here.
out of the movie business. They
Okay.
just don't belong there.
Transformers Battleship Nautanka. No. Now some good news.
Tiddlywinks, the movie.
Ha. Yeah. Won't be long, I'm sure. On to the good news. Hugh Laurie in talks to play RoboCop villain. This is also from CinemaBlend.
I'd heard this today, actually, yeah.
According to Variety, Hugh Laurie is in talks to play the villain in RoboCop, MGM's planned remake of the 1987 Paul Verhoeven classic. If the story sticks closely to the original, that would have Laurie playing the head of Omnicorp, that builds the android police force, and eventually revives the dedicated policeman played by Joel Kinnaman in order to become the half-human, half-android crime fighter we know as RoboCop. MGM had no comment on the casting news, but with production set to start this summer, and the likes of Samuel L. Jackson and Abbey Cornish recently signing on for roles, they've got to be close to finding at least someone to play the villain part. Again, I mentioned this last time, I had no interest in this before I heard about Oldman joining the cast. As we're recording this, the most recent episode of Trailer Clash, they mentioned the story about Jackson joining the cast. Now, Hugh Laurie, in a matter of a couple of weeks, I've gone from zero interest to really, really, really wanting to see this.
It sounds like a mad, 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 mad world of sci-fi.
Yeah.
The android is buried under a giant W.
This could be the best remake ever.
It could be.
All right, on to this week's movie. And, of course, the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Fudge. When you're going on a long trip with the guys, always make sure to pack some fudge.
Wow, and they say I like the chief jokes. And sponsored by hair pieces. When you're doing a period piece, oh, Christ, just get a fucking good hair piece. Yeah. Something that doesn't look like shoe polish. Anyway.
It's Trey and Matt.
I know. It's Troma, too.
And Troma, yeah.
All right, so I think halfway through, I usually like to just, you know, go into a movie blind, and I watched this in two halves, and in between, just wound up looking at some of the history of this to find, shockingly, that this is historically accurate for the most part.
Really? Even the ending?
There is some, you
well,
know...
Was he exonerated?
He got out.
He did get out.
In 1901.
Okay.
That was true.
Wow.
I don't know if it had anything to do with the girl or not.
Well, yeah. But
anyway, we get it way ahead of ourselves.
Right,
here.
Right, right.
All right, so this is what happened from a very reliable source called, you know, Wikipedia. You should try it sometime. Alfred Packer, that was his real name too. They didn't just do that for the gag.
Although which I they thought, used that gag quite well.
And I really had thought they just used that name for the gag.
Oh, no, I knew. I'd heard of him before.
But, right, he led this expedition, got terribly lost. They got taken in by Indians. The Indians told them, we've got plenty of food. You know, just stay here. You don't want to pass through the mountains in the middle of winter. For some reason, they said... no, we've got to get to Colorado, you know, so we're going to leave now. Now being
middle
February
of winter.
9th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dead of winter, he takes this crew of, it started out with like 20-something people, and then there were only about the five left that were with him. And he claims he went, you know, they were terribly lost, of course, they're without food and all that. And, this is what he claims. He claims that this is Packer in his, you know, I think after he was out and I think he said his confession was a little wonky here and there, but his story was that he went to scout ahead. He came back to find four of the five dead, with one of them being alive and roasting some of their flesh over a fire. And upon his Packer's return, this same one, I think it was the one that I'm trying to remember the character's name in this movie, which was the one that wound up doing it. Bell, I think, yeah. He attacked Packer with the hatchet, and Packer being a Civil War vet himself, just took out his gun and shot him, pretty much Indiana Jones style.
Oh, bring an axe to a gunfight.
Right. You know, shot him twice, and he died. And, of course, nobody believed this story. So Packer, you know, that's pretty much what happens in the movie, though.
Throw in Trey, Matt's humor, some bad wigs, some dodgy acting, and a few songs, and there's your plot summary.
Right. Hilarity ensues. Do you want me to continue with what happened
Okay.
in real life? All right, so he's convicted and he appeals and goes all the way up to the Colorado Supreme Court. And what happens then, they commute his sentence to manslaughter, and he gets 40 years in jail, which is the longest in at the time, the longest sentence ever passed out in US history. Winds up getting out on good behavior in 1901, which I think was like 28,
Okay.
27 years later. And he, works as like a guard for the Colorado Sentinel. And they widely believed he was a vegetarian in
Probably.
his older years.
Yeah.
But yeah, years, decades later, in the 90s, they were doing some forensic studies, to see, what the hell happened out there. And there is at least one study that backed up his story that everybody, and they shouldn't have needed a forensic study of Thomas. I think you could figure out that everybody but one in the party died from a hatchet, except for one being shot twice.
Right.
Now, that doesn't really prove I mean,
Right.
why it happened, but it does stick with,
The story.
what he did, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's the impromptu plot summary.
Hilarity ensues.
Yeah. Now, the film began as a 3-minute trailer made for a film class. After the trailer drew much attention, Parker and Stone raised 125 grand and
Wow.
began to shoot the full-length film. The film was shot during weekends on spring break in 1993, and according to Ian Harden, most of the crew failed their film history class as a result. I bring that up first because this has got to be not only the best produced, but possibly one of the best acted student films I have ever seen.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I, you know what? The first half of this, I had thought this movie was made much later. I thought that they had slipped South Park references in. And it turns out, and this is what Tuesday had said when she was watching sort of the first half with me, that this movie doesn't have South Park references. South Park has
Yeah,
Cannibal the
yeah.
Musical references.
I should say, I think I missed it before. This week's movie is, of course, Cannibal the Musical from '93.
Yes. Because that whole song about the blue skies and everything at the beginning, do you recognize that melody?
A lot of the melodies sounded familiar. I figured Trey wrote them and just recycled them for South Park.
At the end of every South Park episode.
Oh.
Dun 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 dun
Yeah.
dun 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 dun. The
Oh,
Brandon
wow.
jingle. So yeah, I'm sitting here like listening to the opening intro and going, "Wow, that's a little Braniff jingle," and then he turned that into an entire song. I'm just sitting there
Nice.
with my jaw dropped.
Wow.
Did you also notice the Cartman voice somewhere in the
Oh, I
background?
didn't notice it, but it doesn't surprise me that they threw that voice in somewhere.
Well, right. I just assumed this was done around the same time they were, doing South Park, because, who would let these guys make a movie? I guess trauma is the answer.
Yeah. And actually, this was released the year before South Park came out. It was released in '96 after
Right.
Troma picked it up. But I think the Cartman voice was probably around for years before
Oh,
South
yeah.
Park. It was just a funny voice that one of them did.
Right, Parker, obviously.
Okay, I can never keep it straight.
Yeah.
Incidentally, I didn't recognize Matt Stone until about 20 minutes in.
What's great about him, though? He gets the shittiest roles. He gets absolutely so little, but he turns
And
it
this
into this
brilliance.
brilliant performance. And it's just this little role that, I mean, how many lines did he really have in this movie? And then same with Orgasmo. How many lines did he have in that? But the whole not to sound like a queer or nothing bit is one of the best bits of the entire movie.
And of course, I love the Geddy Lee reference.
Yeah, of course.
And back to the production values. The gore in this was even better than, Reanimator and Blood Rain and these, these typically cheesy, gory movies that probably cost a lot more.
Well, right. So Troma didn't have this from the beginning. They
No, they
just.
bought it from Train Matt.
Wow. They did this without Troma, and it was that.
They do that a lot. There's a lot of their catalog they just distribute. The stuff that they make that Lloyd directs has a very clear look. But yeah, this was Trey and Matt. They made it on money that they raised and then sold it to Troma for distribution.
Are you sure those aren't things that Troma added in, like after they bought it?
What specifically? You mean the gore?
The gore.
It looked better than most Troma gore, actually.
That is true. It did look good. It looked very convincing.
That's what impressed me, because I mean that's even beyond Troma level. Then again, I don't think Troma spends 125 grand on a movie.
Because it felt to me like they had that gory scene in the very beginning. It was kind of a, relax, guys. There's going to be some here. It was kind of a way to hook the Troma audience in.
And just to kind of throw you off too,
Yeah.
because he's practically a vampire in that opening scene.
Right.
He's just attacking people and biting their necks for some odd reason.
Right.
And I gotta say, this is probably my favorite of the three Trey and Matt movies.
Really?
I think this is way better than Basketball or Orgasmo. Incidentally, I found out David Zucker wrote and directed Basketball. Did not know that.
Yes.
I mean, I like them both. I kind of prefer Basketball, at least from the last time I saw it. But this is way better than both of them, I think.
Wow, I've always been a huge Orgasmo fan. I'm not sure about between this and Orgasmo. The Orgasmo is just, I've always considered that a masterpiece, really. Basketball is great too, though. It's been a long time since I've seen it, though.
And you mentioned they kind of borrowed things from themselves for South Park. They also, I think, borrowed a bit from Python.
Oh,
In
definitely.
the thing that got me in the one little thing speech, you know, when he's trying to rouse I don't know if it was Bell or Swan, I had a hard time telling them apart.
Yeah.
Trying to rouse everybody, the Mormon guy, to get everybody to go to Colorado.
Right.
And he there's this call and response bit in the speech, and everybody says yes perfectly on cue. And it just reminded me of We Are All Individuals from Life of Brian.
Or how about the scene where they're talking about music notes?
Oh, I love the music theory argument. As you know, long-time listeners know, I'm a musician, and I've studied a lot of theory, and that was so beautiful.
I mean, I have no idea what the hell they were talking about, but it was hilarious, even from my standpoint,
Yeah, I just love that scene made the movie for me.
because they're just in the middle of a lot of the times they were, acknowledging how ridiculous the musical format is. I mean, there was the scene where they were starving to death and they were trying to sing, and they were all just kind of like, they're singing a reprisal of an earlier song, but they were just too exhausted to sing it.
Another source I think they kind of borrowed from, and not wouldn't surprise me at all if it was the case, given Zucker directed Basketball, was, but there were a couple of parts that were very Zucker's. The Japanese Indians, very Zucker's. I mean, that's straight out of the Airplane or Kentucky Fried.
Honestly, that's Blazing Saddles.
Okay, yeah, fair. And the shot when they cross the river and they say no one's going downstream, and they pull out and they just show this river with this, you know, enormous current going downstream. Very Zucker feel to it. But yeah, but the Indians were it, that goes back a lot further, you're right.
Yeah.
That's Mel Brooks, that's F Troop, yeah.
And how about that being the same guy that was, from
Well,
Orgasmo,
yeah,
Gene Kress?
apparently they reuse a lot of people because Dean Bakker, I want to say his name, the short guy from Orgasmo, Chitta Boy, he
Yeah.
was in this. He was also in Basketball. He's in everything they do. And there are probably a few others that we didn't notice. Now, in your copy, was the sync a bit off or was it just mine?
I think there were some general audio problems. The sync was fine, but there were some scenes where the audio just wasn't quite recorded well.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice that, but the sync was just slightly off for most of the movie. I kind of got the impression they looped everything.
Maybe,
Which
but
wouldn't surprise me if you know Trey and Matt did half the voices between them, regardless of who was on screen. I'm pretty sure the Trapper's singing voice was Trey.
Well, definitely the scene where they're doing the number about the hanging, which is another great song in this. Trey is doing, I don't know how many different voices in the in the song, and they're working him in because he's, I guess, one of the few people that can sing in the cast.
Right. That's true. It's probably just Trey, because I have a feeling Matt probably can't sing very well.
And but a lot of that audio was just fucked. I mean, it was like a lot of the group singing there, at least in my copy, it was just very low. Like they were away, they couldn't get a microphone good enough to record a group singing,
Right.
is really what it came across as.
It's a student film. That's the part that blows me away.
Same here. It's almost not enough to take anything away from it, brain wise in the end, because it's a student film. I mean, if you ever see one of my student films, holy shit.
I've seen plenty of student films, and they don't, they're not this good. No matter how good the script is, even the performances, just the production is amazing. And really, 125 grand is not big by any stretch.
Really, think
That's
about
like a
it.
Clerk's budget, isn't it?
It's more. That's about 100 grand more,
Oh,
actually.
okay.
Yeah, but how the hell do they get their hands on that kind of money?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Didn't
As
say.
college students.
Yeah.
But yeah, production too. Just some of the shots he did were just beautiful. Yeah, color-wise, his use of color. I mean, he had, I guess, many different fields of flowers to choose from.
Well, they were still in Colorado at the time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Lots of open spaces and mountains, and they probably shot it where it was set or fairly close.
Yeah.
Another thing that gets me about this one. Now, how I am with the cheap humor. I love the cheap jokes in this. There's this one bit where Packer loses his horse, and goes on this epic quest to find the horse, and leads them astray and yada yada, and he's singing this hilariously innuendo-laden song about the horse
But they did it with a straight face.
called "When I'm on Top of You." But
Right.
then, not only just the song was great, but then as soon as he finishes singing, I think it was Matt piped up with "Fudge Packer," as in offering him some fudge.
Yes.
Killed me. And that's normally a bit lowbrow for me. And also the anachronisms I kind of liked, which I never do.
Yeah, you
Like
could
the
tell they
trapper
were.
with the mohawk, and a lot of the dialogue was very current.
Right, you could tell they were purposely tweaking. They weren't just like they didn't think about that.
I
They
think that's maybe why I liked it, is I could tell it was intentional.
Right. It's obviously intentional. I keep wanting to call him Little Bitch or Chota Boy. But yeah, his whole thing like, oh man, I gotta get laid and stuff,
Oh, he did a whole song about it.
Right. The whole, just being out of, an anachronism there alone.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about the word. Yeah, he did. Did he use the word "laid"?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
It was like.
And it went right past me. Interesting. Now, you asked if Troma had pitched in the making of the movie. The courthouse scenes definitely felt Troma.
Yes.
Like, distinctly, low quality compared to the flashback scenes where it's Trey and Matt and the guys.
Right, because the audio quality in the courthouse scene was kind of fucked too. That's how it was weird. I mean, that's the only indication that this was a student film. It was the inconsistency in the audio quality of it. You'd only find that in a student film. Well, maybe there have been there's Wizzo.
And for the most part, the performances were spot on for what it
Yeah.
was. One glaring exception: Polly Pry, the lawyer's girlfriend. horrible performance and probably the best singer in the piece, which is
Yeah,
odd.
which is why she was there.
Yeah. Incidentally, Moira Kelly was originally cast in that role.
Who is that?
Actress, she was in Chaplin, just a few other things in the early 90s. I think she
No
was
kid.
one on one of those law shows.
Huh.
They decided that they didn't want to tarnish her future Hollywood career, so they recast the role. She's just
Wow.
mentioned in the credits as the dropout and credited as MK. And it had she stayed in the movie, it would have fixed the one issue I had with it, because I just couldn't stand her performance. And I think also towards the end, and this is getting to the bad because we've been gushing about the movie. Oh, the
Yeah.
gushing eye was disgusting. The one guy, the Japanese guy with the gushing eye.
Oh.
I said we were gushing, and I remembered it. This one guy with a missing eye that spewed whatever it was. No,
The
but
Confederate soldier.
yeah. Getting to the bed, including that. When he got rescued, I got kind of bored.
Oh, at
When he was in the town.
But that goes like that's a very brief part. That's only
Yeah.
like
It's maybe 10 minutes, but it just kind of bored me until the chief shows up Obi-Wan style and during the fight. Then I got interested again.
Oh,
He gets
well,
into a bar fight,
you
gets thrown into a piano, and you see the image of the Japanese Indian chief encouraging him.
know where they use that again, of course, right? The in Orgasmo, the
Yeah.
hamster style.
Right.
But of course, I mean, hamster style is still funnier.
Oh, I skipped over possibly the most disturbing part of the movie, though.
There's a lot of disturbing parts of this movie, but that's what these guys do
Well,
best.
actually, I'm kind of desensitized to that stuff in their case. But well, at least, like I said, the gushing eye and the ballet scene. We couldn't go without mentioning the ballet scene.
That was weird.
After the first time Packer eats a human, he gets sick, he passes out, and then he has this dream where it's Trey doing what looked like some fairly decent ballet. He obviously had taken some classes. And then he's joined by the head of the Trappers, who was his enemy in the movie,
Right.
and they dance a duet. Aside from some possible suggestion of between the two of them, the rivalry there, it had
Right.
nothing to do with anything.
Right.
And it wasn't just like trippy weird that I could just roll with and say, okay, they're just getting weird here. It was just disturbing.
I can't think about it without laughing.
Oh,
Because
you're right. Yeah.
it's just so out there.
Also, well, there is no definition for it, but I'm curious if Schwedwinkle means good or bad.
Well, the story went, and this is
Oh,
according to
there's a
Urban Dictionary,
story to Schwedwinkle. Okay.
according to Urban Dictionary, when Parker was writing this, he was trying to think of a good adjective or adverb, and he just randomly came up with Spadoinkle
Ah, okay.
and said, it was just going to be a placeholder until he could think of the word to use. And instead, they just decided, you know what? Let's just keep
Just
it.
put on call, yeah.
And then he wrote it into a song. I think it was used like some years later on Buffy.
Possibly.
It was referenced in there that, someone said, "Wow, that's a
Now that you
spatwinkle."
mention it, it sounds like something Oz would have said.
And then they like, yeah, turn of like spatwinkle, really?
Oh, also, by the way, just in tangent, the script is also partially based on the Odyssey. And in one scene, you can see Bell reading the Odyssey.
Okay.
I don't see where it was based on the Odyssey, but maybe the bit with the trappers somehow.
I guess would they be like suitors and the horse would be I
I don't know.
don't know. That's quite a
After that
stretch.
song, who knows?
That's quite a stretch though, I think. I mean you could kind of see, like them staying at the Isle of Calypso and not, and them wanting to stay and keep them there, and they wanted to leave instead.
Well, that could be the Indian reservation,
Right,
but
exactly.
that's actually the story.
Yeah.
That's Packer's actual story. So, you know, you can't say you got it from the Odyssey if it actually happened. Well, if I can't say if it happened to Packer, because who knows, but if that's what Packer recounted as the story.
I think they verified that
Okay, that
that
part was
was
verified.
true.
All
Oh
right.
yeah, because there are people that stayed with the Indians that said, ah yeah, I think we're not gonna cross the Rockies in the winter.
Now, did you catch the parental warning at the end of the movie?
Yes.
Genius. They go through all of this, you know, the cannibalism, you know, all of these crude jokes, and then maybe inappropriate for children at the end.
At the very end.
So I'm pretty much done with my notes.
Let's see. There was just one little bit of trivia at the students. I have to take this right from Wiki again. Students at the University of Colorado at Boulder in 1968 named their new cafeteria grill
Oh, yeah. After
Alfred
Packer.
G. Packer Memorial Grill with the
Yeah,
slogan, "Have a friend for lunch."
yeah.
Even to this day,
Well,
students
yeah.
enjoy the meat-filled El Cannibal underneath a giant wall map outlining his travels through Colorado.
Wow.
And then years later, they were trying to get them to change it. So they gave them this plaque to try to shame them into changing it of the Alfred Packer Memorial Grill. Serving mankind, serve all mankind. And this plaque is still currently displayed at the wall of the National Press Club's reliable source members only wall.
Nice. And the fact that the college they went to did this, to gives you an
Yes.
idea of where Trey and Matt got their humor from.
Trey and Matt were, in fact, students at the University of
Yes.
Colorado. Not sure if it was Boulder,
In
but.
fact, I think I'd read that that's a lot of the movie was written in that very cafeteria.
That's great.
It may have, in fact, I know there was some trivia about that I read that was in addition to what you said. I think that might have been what gave them the idea, was that the fact that their school cafeteria was named after Packer.
Well, yeah, it would explain a lot. And of course, the band Cannibal Corpse was a fan of Packer, dedicated their debut album to him.
All right, so on to sequels and remakes. Obviously, too soon for a remake, no sequels. However, there have been several amateur productions of Cannibal the Musical.
I know they put on the play. I'm surprised they wouldn't try to put this to Broadway after their success with Book of
I'm
Mormon.
sure they will. But
Yeah.
there are high schools that do this show.
No way.
I saw on I'll include it in the clips. There was one high school production in on YouTube. I don't know how they got away with it, but yeah.
Wow. That is a good question. Everyone's so sensitive these days.
So on to Brains.
On the brains.
Like I said, I for the most part loved it. It made me appreciate things that I don't normally appreciate. There's just a few issues, some dodgy acting, particularly from the girl who played Polly and Trey's father, who played the judge, but can't really hold that against him. And that one section got a little boring for me, but I got to give it a 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going all the way for the five with this one. It was, I mean, I kept thinking, wow, is it really worth it and everything? But there were just some phenomenal bits that he pulled off here. The fake deaths, and the fact that this one was historically accurate.
Yeah, that's kind of mind-blowing.
That's insane. And to think that this is what these guys were doing while we were screwing around with sound effects on the radio.
Yeah.
Damn them.
Wow, at the same time too.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I know, whatever. What can you do?
Yeah.
But yeah, five brains.
This is why they have way more money than we do.
Yeah.
All right, so what have we learned?
That Wyoming's a place that I don't think I'd want to go to.
Yeah, coincidentally, I learned that it's almost as bad as Milwaukee.
Ha 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 ha.
All right, so until next week when we will be reviewing Attack the Block, I have been waiting so long to do this one. I have been on your case to watch this for almost a year since I first saw it.
Yeah, I gotta get my Netflix
Finally,
thing
gonna force you to watch it.
done.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, the episode itself, which of course you're already listening to, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. It would help us get some more listeners. You can also find the movie list, everything we've done so far, and everything we're planning to do, in order up until the big bus, although there is some debate over the episode after next.
Yeah.
We're still nailing that down. You can also find the suggest a movie form. You can suggest a movie for us to review.
We haven't had anyone suggest something to us in a while now, actually, have we?
I don't think there's been anything added since I cleared the form. I still have a lot of suggestions in the file that I save those to.
Oh, okay.
But we did one not too long ago, so, taking a few weeks, maybe sometime next month we'll get to another
Yeah.
suggestion. You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee, which is only slightly worse than Wyoming, we now know.
I think I have never been to Wyoming, but I've been to Milwaukee. I would go with Wyoming being the worst of the two.
So until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there
There
you
you
are.
are. God, you guys make me sick. What is this, a feel-good convention?
High schools that do this show.
No way.
I saw on, I'll include it in the clips. There was one high school production in on YouTube. I don't know how they got away with it, but yeah.
Wow. That is a good question.
Yeah.
Everyone's so sensitive
I
these
know it
days
was a
with
school. I'm
schools.
almost, it may have been a college. There was definitely a school production
Yeah.
of Cannibal. I'm almost positive it was high school. Anyway, I'll find it.